we turn to Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker, The Left and the Law, to tell us about district attorneys.
In a closely watched race in Queens, Tiffany Caban has not yet conceded defeat in the race for the district attorney to her opponent, Melinda Kotz. In the recent recount, Caban was a mere 60 votes behind. And she adds on her website and online, this race is not over. Well, Mike, the left is finally taking on one of the deepest and darkest hearts of the criminal justice system. The district attorney races that have been challenged from the left all around the country. Let's start with the role of the DA and the office of the DA, which are the prosecutors in the criminal justice system. What do DAs and their offices do that's so important and makes these campaigns quite riveting and unexpected?
Well, they do everything. They are the beating heart of the whole system. 98% of all criminal charges are resolved by plea bargains. Trials are shows that happen occasionally, but the everyday business of crime and punishment has to do with the prosecutor accepting or rejecting deals. Misdemeanors are about 80% of a criminal docket, and prosecutors decide whether or not to incarcerate people. They do it all day, every day. Everywhere.
And these aren't just rule-governed decisions that emerge out of the logic of the law, but there are political decisions at every point in the process. Can you say something about that?
Well, there are occasionally rules, like there was in Los Angeles County for a while, about when you could charge somebody with a death penalty. But basically, no, it's whatever individual DAs want to do. There are overall office policies within each prosecutorial office, but the prosecutors are on the line every day and at the top of the system. They are the most powerful people by far. Judges trail way behind in terms of influence over what actually happens.
Judges are often center stage and in public thinking and discourse about the criminal justice system.
And Trump is cramming the federal bench full of absolute reactionaries. But meanwhile, people are rising up all over the country. It's been remarkable to me. For example, in Missouri, in Ferguson, St. Louis County, Robert McCullough, the DA who refused to prosecute the cop who shot Michael Brown, was defeated by a black man, Wesley Bell. Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, he's in the teeth of the most racist police body in the country, and that's, you know, serious competition there. But Philadelphia, since Frank Rizzo, has got to be in the top. And the prosecutors are totally aligned with the cops there. And he managed to win by 75%.
So how much of these victories, though, are undercut by institutional forces arrayed against them? Because there's often, it's not, you know, the cowboy riding into town on the horse to save the day. I mean, there are enormous forces, even these progressive DAs that win on confronting mass incarceration. And like Tiffany Caban, her platform, including decriminalizing sex work, decriminalizing border crossing. She's very out as a Latina queer woman and has a very left-wing platform. But she, even if she squeaks by with this victory, what would she face when she came to work the next day?
Well, she would face strong opposition from the police, strong opposition from within her office. Like, what has happened is that Krasner fired dozens of prosecutors, some of whom promptly got work for the state attorney general's office. But there is opposition within the office itself, because long the prosecutor's
opposition
office,
to progressive change.
Yeah, has typically been the way to the top. The way you succeed politically is to be a prosecutor, from Earl Warren to now, over many, many decades. You prosecute as many people as you can, put them in prison for as long as possible, and when you do a really well-known case, it gets you in the paper and gets you the kind of wide recognition from people in power that allows you to run for governor.
That's the political bread and butter for these folks that have greased the wheels of their campaigns, right? And lock them up.
And that's always been the style. It's always worked for years. And you work hand in glove with the cops, and the cops in a disputed testimony are always right. It's just how it happens. This has been caused tremendous upheaval in many offices, because that has caused, for example, what happened in St. Louis was that the prosecutors have sort of a union, one of these governmental unions. It's an association, but it functions effectively as a union. They joined the police union. So now it's despite the screaming conflict of interest. I mean, police are typically witnesses in cases, and a question on any prospective juror questionnaire is, would you treat the testimony of a policeman any differently than another citizen?
And the correct answer is no.
The correct answer is everybody's a human. You know, I'll see what I make of each of them as they appear. The truth is, these prosecutors are committed to always believing the police, even when they testify that the earth is flat. You know, it's an institutional requirement. And yet, so there's opposition, very staunch, very deep, very fierce, in every one of these offices. But the DA, so none of them have been able to do everything they wanted, but they've all done quite a bit. They've all, gotten rid of prosecutions for certain minor crimes. They've all lessened incarceration. They've all had profound effects on local everyday life.
Let's talk a little bit about California. The four progressive DAs lost campaigns there, but of course we have Kamala Harris, who is running as a presidential candidate, as a progressive DA, and on the face of it, it is striking and surprising that a DA would be running as a progressive Democrat, but how progressive is she?
Well, she's an opportunist. And that can be a good thing if it turns out that...
In what sense? Because all political campaigns are, to some extent, experiments in opportunity and exploiting opportunity. And in what sense is she an opportunist?
Well, I'd say in the sense that Bernie Sanders, like him or not, has been consistent for decades. He is who he is. He might seize opportunities in terms of presenting himself or whatever, but his ideas are pretty set. Kamala Harris will go with whatever's happening. I mean, I remember she was an attorney general for 4 years while I was doing death penalty work in California, and the fact that she was an attorney general meant absolutely nothing. The office prosecuted capital cases at the same rate and in the same way that they always have. She's never shown anything
to slow that down. She
right.
was not.
But on the other hand, she's responsive and she sees it. What happens is that these issues mobilize people. The real difference between the Republican in 2012 and 2016 was that the Republican vote was pretty constant, but the Democrats did not show up for Hillary Clinton as they had for Barack Obama. People show up in these DA races. They show up even in off years when voting percentages are typically down. They not only have liberals like the ACLU and George Soros moving in this direction, but minority communities all over the country are galvanized. Since Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, has focused attention on mass incarceration, the staggering disproportionate number of black people and brown people who are in prison.
And executed.
Yes, this issue resonates. And so she will not hesitate to go with this issue if she thinks it's going to help her. And she's
What else about her track record as a DA? Because she's presented herself as championing women victims of sexual assault and has some progressive credentials she pulls out to make the case for herself as a progressive DA, although that itself is very complicated in terms of how you use sex crimes as a progressive.
Well, yeah, she will seize upon moments here and there, but in truth, she defeated a really progressive guy, Terrence Hallinan, whose father used to defend the communist Harry Bridges against deportation, Vincent Hallinan. Terrence was K.O. Hallinan, a rough, brawling, left-wing Irish guy.
Oh, those people so easily forgotten and left behind. We'll have to return to him at some point.
I think he got bored by the job and wasn't doing much, and she's flashy. She presents herself very well. She hit the moment in San Francisco. But in terms of everyday reality, there was nothing striking, nothing really interesting, nothing remotely like what's going on in these DA campaigns in recent years. In Houston, which used to be death central for the whole country, now is famous for how many wrongful convictions they've reversed. They have a new DA, Kim Ogg, in Chicago. Everywhere else, people are doing striking things and interesting things, and she did none of that while she was DA.
Did she do any heavy lifting for these progressive DA campaigns around California? I don't recall her commenting on them.
Well, if anything, she stayed away. She steered very clear. I think she will have her nose to the wind, as always, and if it looks like there is success between these new coalitions and the mobilization of people who would be inclined to favor her, she might well come along, but she's not going to lead the way.
There was also an interesting case brought by the ACLU in New Orleans that's part of this same kind of surprising shift of suing a prosecutor. Can you, in our last minute or two, can you say anything about that case? Because it also involves DAs across the country being put on the defensive.
That's right. They're being sued for, in the New Orleans, they actually put out fake subpoenas in order to incarcerate crime victims to make sure they testify. And the prosecutors own the system to such an extent that they think all these witnesses can be put in their pockets and pulled out at a whim. And that practice is being attacked by the ACLU. Their failure to turn over exculpatory evidence is being attacked. They are being sued all over the country and often successfully.
So where is that case now in New Orleans? Is there can be a wake-up call, but that can mobilize pushback and defenses on the other side so that this is no cakewalk taking these prosecutors on.
It was just
they have a lot of experience prosecuting.
Right. It got lots of news, which is a good thing, but it's nowhere near resolution. So I guess I'd like to close by saying how widespread this is. There have been
And how important it is. And I think that in these dark times, it's important to acknowledge the rays of light that are part of our horizon in period two.
Well, it is true. It's in Dallas, San Antonio, five big cities in Texas, everywhere, all over the country. In Multnomah County, we'll have a chance in 2020 to elect a new DA. The old guy, Rob Underhill, is a classic prosecutor. He's been somewhat, he's more liberal than certain other ones, but he's steeped in the value system that has prevailed all over the country everywhere. And we'll see what happens in Portland in a year and a half.
Okay, so we'll continue to follow that locally and nationally. This is Jan Hawken and Mike Snedeker talking today about the role of district attorneys and the movement around the country to elect progressive DAs.
Breaking rocks in a hot sun, I fall below.